Let's continue reading verses 15 through 19 of Philippians chapter 3. In these verses, Paul refutes the false teaching of antinomianism, or lawlessness, and he exhorts the Philippians to live up to the truth that they have already attained and wait on God for further insight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Once again, some background notes. When Paul wrote this epistle to the Philippians, he had several matters in mind. First of all, he wanted to thank them for the gift that they had sent to him through Brother Epaphroditus. Another big reason why Paul wrote this epistle to the Philippians was to deal with a growing problem of disunity in the church. Here in chapter 3, we have another matter that Paul was concerned about. It's the danger of false teaching. Now, what was the false teaching? Well, in the first half of the chapter, it is definitely the false teaching of Judaism. The influence of Judaism distorted the Christian faith by mixing in works of the law. In verses 12 through 14, the false teaching of perfectionism is refuted. Paul leaves no doubt that the teaching of perfectionism, that you can become sinless in this life, is false teaching. And that's certainly in line with what we have in the rest of the New Testament. Now, here in these verses, and particularly verses 17 through 19, it seems that we have a third group of false teachers mentioned, the antinomians or libertines. Antinomianism was and is the false teaching that you can be lawless. After all, salvation is by faith alone. Therefore, you can do whatever you want. You can do as you please, right? Wrong. Antinomianism is refuted in these verses, just as much as perfectionism was refuted in verses 12 through 14. Well, so much for background notes. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one: spiritually mature believers do not modify Christian doctrine. Spiritually mature believers do not modify Christian doctrine. Verses 15 and 16, once again. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Now, some of your translations have perfect there in verse 15. That's not a contradiction with verse 12, where Paul says that he is not perfected. He's saying here in verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are perfect. The word perfect there means mature, not sinless, but mature. Those Christians who are mature should have this mind, Paul said. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. What mind? Paul is talking here of the doctrine that he has just presented. The doctrine that the present goal of the Christian is to know Christ more. And the doctrine that the future prize of the Christian is to be fully conformed to the image of Christ. And the doctrine that you cannot attain perfection in this lifetime. Now Paul says that if you don't quite agree, or you can't quite handle this doctrine, or if in anything you think otherwise, what should you do? Don't modify the doctrine. Don't change it. Wait on God. Hang in there. Notice verse 15 again. God will reveal even this to you. Verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. That is, You live up to the content of faith that you can understand and handle, and wait on God to give you further insight. What you can't fully appreciate now or understand now, don't modify. Don't walk away from the fellowship and start your own little doctrinal splinter group. The spiritually mature believer does not modify Christian doctrine to suit his own hang-ups, his pet peeves, or to suit his selfish desires. Spiritually mature believers remain orthodox, even if they can't always understand or appreciate what the Bible teaches. Illustration. The Bible clearly teaches that the role of women in the church is not that of spiritual leadership. Women have a great role to play in the church, but that role does not include spiritual authority. Now, what do you do if you're a mature Christian and you can't quite understand that? You can't handle that. You can't appreciate that doctrine. Well, you don't modify it. You don't change it to be politically correct. You don't modify this doctrine that has been within the church for 2,000 years, clear teaching of Scripture, to suit your own purposes. You live up to the content of faith that you can understand and handle, verse 16, and wait on God to give you further insight, verse 15. You don't modify the doctrine to suit yourself. Remember, spiritually mature believers do not modify Christian doctrine. Doctrinal point number two, spiritually mature believers do not abuse Christian liberty. Spiritually mature believers do not abuse Christian liberty. Verses 17 through 19, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. In these verses, Paul is refuting the false teaching of the antinomians or libertines. They are non-Christians, because we read in verse 18, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And in verse 19, whose end is destruction. That word destruction, by the way, does not mean annihilation or extinction, but ruin. Ruin by eternal separation from God. Now, these non-Christian false teachers had not penetrated the church at Philippi, but the danger of their false teaching existed then and today. The Bible teaches that when we become Christians, we are free from the law. We have Christian liberty, but we are not to abuse that Christian liberty. We're not to use our Christian liberty as a license to do whatever we please. We are free from the law as the way of salvation, and we are free from the law as the way of sanctification, but we are not lawless. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, we read that as free, we are not to use our liberty as a cloak for vice or wickedness, but as servants of God. Spiritually mature believers do not abuse Christian liberty. Now notice here in verse 19, three characteristics of these ungodly false teachers. First, whose God is their belly. That is, they have unrestrained physical appetites. They live for self only. They use the ministry for personal gain. I think we all know of media evangelists that fall into this category. The second characteristic, whose glory is their shame. They actually boast of what they should be ashamed of. You know, yesterday was Gay Pride Day at Disneyland. Can you believe it? Proud of what the Bible calls sin. You know, boasting about this sin is even within the church today. Whose glory is their shame. And thirdly, who set their mind on earthly things. They are concerned about this life only. Power, possessions, prestige. These are the characteristics of the false teaching of antinomianism or lawlessness. Paul was warning the Philippians not to be influenced by this false teaching and thus abuse their Christian liberty. And in the same way, God is warning us here not to abuse our Christian liberty. Spiritually mature believers do not abuse Christian liberty. What about practical application? Practical application number one, let's keep in step together. Let's keep in step together. In verses 16 through 18, there are two different Greek words that are used for the word walk or live. Verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. That is, walk together. The word that's used for walk here or live here is walk in line in relationship to others. Now in verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. That is, walk as individuals. And also verse 18, for many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Here in reference to the false teachers, the word walk that's used here is in reference to an individual walk. So there is an emphasis in verse 16 then on walking together. Here again, you see in Philippians, we have another emphasis on unity. The exhortation is for us as well. Let's keep in step together. Remember, the context here is the danger of false teaching. So this is a safeguard against falling away into false doctrine. Stay in step with other believers. Don't go off on your own theological tangents. Did you ever watch a military drill team in action? Everyone's in step. There are no individualists doing their own thing. They function as a unit. Great illustration for us. Let's keep in step together. Practical application number two. What kind of a person would a new Christian be if he or she imitated me? What kind of person would a new Christian be if he or she imitated me? Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Paul is able to say here in verse 17, follow my example. Most of us have to say, do as I say, but not as I do, right? Now, the truth of the matter is that a new Christian will follow us as an example, good or bad. Now, I understand you're in the midst of an evangelistic weekend here, and that's great. Well, now, let's just suppose your non-Christian friend becomes a Christian. Now, to some degree, they are going to follow your example. Now, what kind of example are you setting? What kind of Christian will they turn out to be? Complacent? Apathetic? Materialistic? Or dedicated and on fire for the Lord? What kind of person would a new Christian be if he or she imitated me?